We're beginning Masechta Bava Basra. So Bava means a gate, and this is the last gate, the last section of the big Masechta Nezikin, which you have Seder Nezikin, but you have Masechta Nezikin, as it was originally called, which is basically all the Dinim of Dinim Ominous. Tosfos points out, we start over here with Dinim beginning with Hashutfin, where direct continuation of what we had at the end of Bava Metzia. We had the last perek of Bava Metzia was about Dinim involving neighbors, the house and a second floor, and all those Dinim over there. So this is a direct continuation of it, which is why we begin with that. In fact, in Tosefta, the Dinim that have to do with our perek are actually at the end of Bava Metzia. And then Tosefta on Or Masechta actually begins with what the equivalent of Perek Beis of Or Masechta with Perek Layachar. The Rambam gives a different reason. He says most of the things in Or Masechta are things of Svara or things like that, as opposed to an earlier Masechta that are mostly based on Psukim. Not everything in Or Masechta is based on Svara. We're going to have the Dinim of Yerusha, which are in Psukim, but on the whole, many of the Dinim in Or Masechta are based on Svara or Minag HaMokom or things like that, and therefore it goes last. There's a Sicha from sometime in the Mems or the Uli Nuns, where the Rebbe talks about a deeper idea behind it, that it represents the progression of the three Bavas, represents the progression of civilization. Of course, you have Bava Kama, which is where one is injuring or harming or whatever another, or the Dinim of actual Nezikin over there. Then you have Bava Metzia, where things are starting to get a little more civilized, and you have buying and selling and all that kind of thing, but still, after all, it begins with two people fighting over a talus, and a lot of the things in it are also kind of adversarial, and then we get to Or Masechta, which is things are more, people are actually getting along, not completely. You start over here with the Shutfin that are dividing up the Chotzer and making a barrier between them, which the Rebbe talks about represents where there's sometimes there seems to be a barrier between us and Hashem, but still, on the whole, Or Masechta is dealing with things where there's more collegiality and people getting along, and now we just have to figure out what everybody's respective rights are. And in fact, the Masechta ends with the Dinim of an Orev, like Korisol Orev and Zelazes. So even within this Masechta itself, you have that progression from making a Mechitza between people to blending people together. So the Mishnah starts off, Hashutfin Sherotzu Lasis Mechitza B'Chotzer. When partners want to make a mechitza in the chotzer, and we're going to see in the Gemara two possibilities what the word mechitza is. The idea being, Rashi points out that so now they have a chotzer that they own jointly with both of their houses opening into it, and now they want to make a mechitza in it, as we'll learn in the Gemara. The point being that the chotzer they use for a lot of their daily activities. Rashi actually says, "V'roiv tashmishin v'chotzer." Most of what a person would do on a daily basis would be in the chotzer. Therefore, you need a certain amount. Therefore, you need some privacy. Well, that's what we're going to deal with in the Gemara. Actually, we're going to be dealing with the matter of hezek re'ia. Is it considered a nezek when the other person is looking at the kind of things that you're doing in the chotzer? Or, in other words, is it considered a hezek when he's not giving you your privacy? So the Mishnah says, so we'll deal with in the Gemara what mechitza means in this context exactly and how that bears on the matter of Ezekriah. Anyway, the Mishnah says, Bonin as a kosel be'emtza, they build a wall for this purpose in the middle, meaning that each of them gives half the land and half the materials too that's necessary to build the wall. In fact, Mephoshim bring that it means even if they now later on in the Perek it discusses so you can have where the chotzer is you can have where the chotzer is too small for it to actually be divided between them. A chotzer has to have a certain minimum size to be considered a chotzer, and later on in the Perek you're dealing with where the chotzer is too small to divide, and then what do they do in that kind of situation? Here we're talking about where the chotzer is big enough to divide. Each one of them will have something that can be called a chotzer. So therefore, when they're going to build a wall, so each of them gives half the land and half the material for it. There are actually Mephoshim who say that the point would be, even if the Yad Ramah points out, even if for whatever reason they've divided it unequally, maybe they bought it to begin with, one gave more of the money, maybe one is a Bechor and gets a double portion, whatever, even so, the wall is still half and half between them, because the point is, the wall was meant to benefit both of them, as we're going to discuss in the Gemara. So the Mishnah continues, Mokim Shenagu Livnos, in a place where they have the minhag to build walls around Chatzeres, with various kinds of materials. Zil, they use unhewn stones, so those are wider. Gozis, as the mission is going to go on to mention the numbers, gozis or hewn stones, which are shaped on all sides, so it's square or rectangular. Kfisin, or they use kfisin, which are half, we learned about that at the end above Matsya. They are half bricks with a layer of, with a vertical layer of cement between them. So you have a wall, basically the core of it is made out of cement or concrete or what have you, and then you have facings of bricks on both sides of it. A brick in the times of the Gemara was normally 3 by 3 tefachim, so a kufis would be half of that, 3.5 by 1 tefachim. It comes up here and there in Shas, those numbers. Anyway, Levanian, or where they build with regular bricks, just a wall of bricks without any core in the middle. Bonin, in all those cases, they build the wall, whatever it is, I call Kaminag Amadina, everything according to the local minhag of what people usually build walls of chaseris, or their Amaphoshim will explain what people usually build the walls of their houses out of. So what are the amounts? How wide does the wall have to be in each of these cases? Gvil, Bigvil, Agros Habach says, Zen Nos and Gimel Tfachim, Zen Nos and Gimel Tfachim. If the local minhag is to build out of Gvil with unhewn stones, and therefore they're going to be building out of that, then each one has to provide out of his chutzah the space, and each of them has to provide enough material for them to make Zen Nos and Gimel Tfachim, the Zen Nos and Gimel Tfachim. Each one needs to provide 3 Tfachim because the total thickness of the wall is 6 Tfachim. So now Tosfos deals with the issue that, why does the Mishnah just say that Gvil is 6 tefachim wide? And the reason is because then you'd misunderstand that it means each of them has to provide 6 tefachim and the full thickness of the wall has to be 12. So like this, the Mishnah makes it clear that no, each of them is giving only 3. With that said, though, Tosfos then goes on to discuss that since the Mishnah ends up saying, Akol Kaminig Amadina, the Gemara later on Daf Dalet deals with what exactly we learn from those words, Akol Kaminig Amadina, but the fact is it does also include that whatever the local minig is to build in terms of a Gvil wall or a Gozis wall or so forth, is Kaminig Amadina, so why does the Mishnah need to mention the numbers at all? Just say, if it's a place where they build a Gvil, then you build a Gvil, and that's that, and then you'll look up the local building codes and find out how much they build, how thick they build their walls of Gvil. And the same thing with all the others. So Tosfos says the point of the Mishnah is that if the local minhag is that Gvil walls are thicker, or the same thing with any of the other materials, you're not obligated to do it. In other words, the Mishnah is saying 6 tefachim for Gvil, 5 for Gozis, etc., means those are the maximum amounts. If people have a minhag to do less than that, then first, Tosfos says that fine, go ahead. That's what Hakol Kaminig Amadina means. But then Tosfos says maybe not necessarily. Actually, that if people have a local minhag to build the walls thinner than that, to make a Gvil wall less than 6, for example, then maybe the Mishnah may be implying that the 6 is not only a maximum but also a minimum. No, you can't build less than that because even though there may be a local minhag to do differently, this is a minhag headwind. Not a proper minhag. In fact, Tosfos says, you see from this, sometimes there are minhagim that you can't rely on. Sometimes even we say, I call a minhag on the dinner, but not every minhag is valid. I once saw where somebody tried to put together like a taxonomy of the different kinds of minhagim. We have all the way from minhag Yisrael Torahi and minhag Noshim, which, for example, the Rashba says we rely on, and so on and so forth, all the way down to what Tosfos is calling over here minhag Hediot, and even you have an expression sometimes in the postgim minhag Osius Gehenim. So there's a lot of different possibilities in terms of minhagim, what's valid and what's not. And Rishonim give a reason. The logic behind it would be that why, according to text, so Tosfos' second possibility, why you can't make, let's say, Gvil less than 6 fucking wide, because even if they have the local minhag to do it, the fact is it's not going to be stable, and therefore the other one can say, no, listen, we're going to be going to the expense of building a wall, and we're trying to avoid, as the Gemara is going to discuss, the possibility that we're trying to avoid Hezek Re'iyah to one another, that we can each do our things and our business in our thoughts or in privacy, then I want something that's going to be stable. Anyway, okay, so 3 tefachim each for Gvil, total of 6 tefachim. The gozis, if they're using hewn stones, so with Gvil, what it is So villas where the faces of the stones are not hewn, are not dressed, and they stick out. So therefore, you need that extra tefach, a half a tefach on each side for that part that sticks out. The gozis is where the stones are squared off front and back as well. So then it only needs to be narrower. Each one provides the space and the materials for 2.5 thick tefachim of wall, and the total was 5 tefachim. The kfisin, if they're using kfisin, so now again, a kofis is 1.5 tefachim, but what they do is they have 2 rows of them and they have this concrete or rubble or whatever pour in the middle. Therefore, the total is going to be 4 tefachim, zen nosin tefachim. Each one provides 2 tefachim of thickness. So they're going to have in each half of the wall, you're going to have a tefach and a half of brick and a half a tefach of 4, and the same thing on the other side, and therefore the total is 4 tefachim. Tosfos, by the way, points out that you have a posik that uses the word kofis that seemingly mentions it in connection with wood. So Tosfos says, okay, maybe they would put wood on top and bottom of such a wall in order to strengthen it. The Gemara mentions in Rosh Hashanah that in a similar vein, when the Pasuk says in Malachim that when Shlomo built the first Beis Hamikdash, he also put wood into the structure. The idea is it helps hold things together. The Ramban gives a different explanation. He says that kfisin has a general meaning of pieces. So here it means pieces of bricks, and there in the Pasuk it means pieces of wood. So that's by kfisin. Bilvainin, if they're building with plain bricks, just regular 3x3 tefach bricks, zen nosin tefach omechza, zen nosin tefach omechza, each one of them supplies 1.5 tefachim because the total thickness of the wall is 3 tefachim. Again, as Tosfos said, these are all the maximums for that kind of wall. Neither one can force the other to build any wider as far as whether it's narrower than you have the 2 possibilities that Tosfos brings up. Lefichach, therefore, now the Mishnah continues. Now, therefore, since we're saying that they're both partners in the wall, they both provide the space and they both provide the materials, so im nafal akosel, if the wall falls down, hamakim v'avonim shoshneim, then the space and the stones belong to both of them. Neither one can say that space originally came from mine and I get it back, or that more of the stones come from me, or whatever. Because to begin with, it was understood that they built it. They were both required to both build it. Baal Korchum, Tosfos says, now you're going to have two lashonas in the Gemara of what the word mechitza is in the Mishnah over here, and therefore what the implications of that are. That's going to get into this matter of hezekriya. So the Gemara is going to discuss. We'll learn one of those lashonas today, and the other one is in the next daf on daf gimel. So either it would mean they're required to build a wall regardless because of hezekriya, or at least that they made a kinyan with one another that they're going to make a wall. So one way or the other, then the point is they both jointly went into it. Tosfos then goes on to discuss why do we need those points. Anyway, wouldn't we say that since there's even if it falls into the property of one of them, there'd still be a suffix, and therefore we should be dividing it anyway. And then Tosfos goes and discusses that point, and especially in light of, we learned at the end of Bava Metzia, something along those lines. We had a case that at the beginning of the last parak of Bava Metzia, we had a case where a house with a second floor collapsed, and now we discuss how much of the stones belong to each one of them. And the Gemara had mentioned the point that only when it falls into Rishus HaRabim, into a chotzer that belongs to both of them, only then do we say they divide it. Otherwise, we would say that one of them can say, I'm muchzik in it. So Tosfos deals with that whole matter over here. Continues the Mishnah. V'chein beginner. Now, the same thing is as far as a garden. A person has a garden where he's growing vegetables or what have you. Mokim shenagru ligder. If it's a place where they have the minhag to make fences around gardens to avoid hezekriya, then we require each one of them to share in the expenses and the space of building a wall. How tall that wall is going to have to be around a garden, we'll talk about on Omid Beis, and we'll talk about whether in fact there is hezekriya by a garden or not. Aval bebika, but the Mishnah continues, but when you're in a valley, which is where people have fields full of grain, If it's a place where they don't have the minhag to make fences, then we don't require anybody to build a fence around between them and the next person. The Gemara is later on gonna ask on the implication of it that it almost sounds like in general in a valley you should be required to have one between one field and another one, and only in a place where they don't have a minute to, or you're not required to. So the Gemara later on Daf Dalet deals with the implication of that. Anyway, so in a bika, in Machaibinoi, say nobody is required in the first place to put up a fence between one field and next. As we've learned in Bava Metzia, they did have ways of distinguishing one field from the other, but typically the way would be they would have a berm of earth. They would have a pile of earth that went along the borders of the field, and that would mark one field off from another. And if they needed to, because wild animals or whatever, then they'd put up fences and hedges and ditches and things like that, which all that kind of thing is discussed later in the Masechta. Anyway, but as far as seeing from one person's field into another, nobody does anything in their field, unlike in their garden. Therefore, you don't have an issue that you need walls all the time, as we'll discuss a little more on Omer Beis. Elim Rotza. Now, if a person does want to put up a fence, Koinus L'Sechel, now he can't require the other person to share in the expenses and in the space. So instead, Koinus L'Sechel, then he can bring in the fence into his area, meaning that he himself will set aside his area and the edge of his field for the footprint for the space of a wall, Ovoina, and he builds it all out of his own expenses. Now, the problem is, then you're going to have, later on, there may be a concern. Years may pass, and the other guy is going to claim, you know what, half that wall belongs to me in terms of the space and in terms of the material. Therefore, so in order to avoid that, when he builds the wall, he makes a chozis on the outside of the wall, on the side that faces away from him. A chozis is basically, the Gemara ends up discussing on Daf Dalet, the details of it. It's some kind of marker in the way the wall was built or plastered or whatever, which is very distinctive and which can be used as a simon that the wall was built by the guy on the other side of the chozis. Why it is that we place it on the outside, the Gemara deals with over there, the details of it. Lefichach, now therefore, since he was the one who gave all the space and all the materials for building the wall, if eventually the wall falls down, then the space and the stones of it all belong to him, because he's the one who supplied them in the first place. The im osu midas shneim, now on the other hand, if they had decided to begin with, that they are going to build it jointly. So you can have, let's say, whether they both decided they have a reason for it, whether one of them came up with the idea and managed to convince the other, etc. Later on Daf Hey, the Gemara brings a scenario where one of them unilaterally builds a wall and the other one later on demonstrates. Actually, we have a Mishnah on Dalet Amud Beis that mentions that point where you can have one of them builds a wall and the other one ends up demonstrating by actions of his that he appreciates it. So you can have a case where they built it to begin with the das of both of them. Then, like with the chotzer, they build it in the middle, each of them providing half the space. But oisin chozis mikan and mikan, and they make a chozis on both sides. Why do they not just make no chozis at all? That, again, the Gemara deals with later on Dalet Amud Beis, why they don't just, in that case, leave off the chozis entirely. Basically, it boils down to each one of them could later on claim that there was a chozis over there, and it was scraped, and it was chiseled off, or scraped off, or whatever, and therefore, by having a chozis on each side, it makes it clear that it's not so. And then the Gemara later on deals with the details. How do they avoid the other one claiming that you attached a chozis on your side, et cetera, et cetera. So the Gemara deals with all those details later on Dalet Amud Beis. Anyway, so now that they built the wall jointly, lefichach im nafal akosel. Now therefore, if the wall collapses, hamakam ba'avonim shal shneim, then the place, the footprint where the wall was and the stones belong jointly to both of them, because now that we had a chozis over there, then it shows that to begin with it belonged to both of them. Okay. So the Gemara starts off. Savruha, the bnei ha-yeshiva thought to say, my mechitza, what do we mean when we say in the Mishnah over here, Hashut and Shirotsu, Lasas mechitza means guja, means where they wanted to make a wall. Now the Gemara is going to end again with two lashonis of it, one over here and one beginning on Gimel Amud Aleph. Svarua often means in the Gemara, usually it means they thought to say this, but in the end, Lamaskana, it comes not like that. Here it's not necessarily so, but as the Tosfos discusses, in fact, the halacha would be like the second lashon later with all the implications of that. But sometimes the Gemara does use the word savruha even when it means that they end up keeping with that. Okay. Anyway, savruha, they thought to say my mechitza, that the word mechitza of our Mishnah means guda, means a wall. And therefore, so the Mishnah is saying where to begin with, they agreed to build a wall, then they build it in the middle, and you have the rules in our Mishnah in terms of the size of it. Kedetanya, as we learn in a Braisa, an example where the word mechitza clearly means a wall. A Braisa says, mechitza fakedem shenifritza. If you have a wall around a vineyard that was breached through, that has now part of the wall collapsed. Now, when you have, we know you can't plant grain or you can't plant grain or vegetables within a certain distance of grapevines, 6 tefachim or 4 amos, depending on exact circumstances that are dealt with in detail in the Masechta Kelayim. But if you have a fence over there, then you don't have that. If you have a fence between them, then each one is allowed to plant all the way till the fence. In fact, you have dinim, and you don't have an actual physical barrier. You have, for example, a tzuras ha-pesach, same way as it counts as a mechitza. As far as hilchos Shabbos, it counts as a mechitza for this purpose. But anyway, so now you have a fence over here. So each one had planted his grapes and his grain, respectively, all the way to the fence. And now part of the fence fell down. Oymaloig dur. So the owner of the grain tells the owner of the grapes to put back up the fence. Why dafka him? So Tosfos points out, when you think about it, the reason why you need the space, generally 4 amos around a vineyard, is because that's the amount of space that's taken up when you're working the vines, when you're plowing around them, when you're hoeing around them, when you're sending in eventually wagons pulled by oxen to collect the harvest, etc. So generally you have 4 amos for avodas akerim. So therefore, it's the owner of the vineyard who really has the responsibility to make sure that there's a 4 amah distance between him and the other guy. And therefore, over here, when there was a fence, then you don't need that. So therefore, if the fence falls down, then he's going to be the one responsible to put it back up. So we tell him to put it back up. Tosfos also adds the point, by the way, that it means he has to be told that he has to be put it up, that he has to put it up. Otherwise we can't say that when the grain becomes also later that he's going to be hired for it because he wasn't even informed and that he has a responsibility to put it back up. That's why the Braisa has Omer Lo, that we tell him that we tell him Gedur, put it back up. A chazer of a nifritza, if it breaks down again, Omer Lo Gedur, then again we tell him to put it back up. And it has to be. That's why Tosfos says it. Says twice. It means you. Otherwise, he's going to think, okay, I put it up already once. Do I have to keep on putting it up every time it falls down? No. Therefore, the Braisa says that he does have to do that. Continues the Braisa. Nisyai shemena. If he gives up on it and says I can't be bothered to put it back up again. Hares veloy godra, and he doesn't fence it in. He doesn't fix the fence. Now the din is. The din is when you have grain and grapes, or vegetables and grapes, growing near each other, and they grow by 1/200th of their growth, then they become osur. Orla is bottle 1/200, and therefore, so if you have the amount that grew while they were not orla, if you were talking about kalayim, same thing, kalaya kerem becomes bottle 1/200. So therefore, if it grew by 1/200th during that time, when he's supposed to be fixing it and did not, then he's going to be then hares of kiddush. Then he made the grain or the vegetables also. The word kiddush is taken from the lashon haposuk pen tikdash. the word kodesh in Mephoshim on the Pasuk explain the word kodesh and Lashon Kodesh can mean, we usually mean it to mean holy, but really it can mean something that's off limits, whether because it's holy or whether the opposite, because it's osur. We have the word kodesh after all in connection with znus. So you have the shodesh can be used of something off limits. Anyway, hareiz kiddush. So the Braisa says, so now it becomes kiddush, it becomes osur v'ana. V'chayev b'achur yosei, and the owner of the vineyard is going to be chayev to pay for that grain that was lost because it became osur. A few things in this. First of all, as a practical matter, how do you tell whether you grew 1/200th? The Yerushalmi, and then Masechta Kelayim explains what you do is you take a specimen, you take a sample of that type of produce, and you see how long after it's picked it takes to completely dry out. So say, for example, it takes 100 hours to completely dry out, then that means, as far as the growth of it also, it took 100 hours to grow. Now, of course, that doesn't mean 100 hours is a little over 4 days. It doesn't mean you plant it and you harvest it 4 days later. Not always. When a plant is rooted in the ground, it's not always growing. It grows and it rests. It grows and it rests. Altogether, we assume that the amount of time it takes to dry out is the amount of time that it actually spent growing. Therefore, what you do is you divide that in 200, and therefore there's your amount. So say, for example, it takes 100 hours to dry out completely. It means it took 100 hours to grow. So it means that if it was there for half an hour, then it's going to become awesome. Tosfos points out that the Braisa is saying yisyaish, that only if he gave up on it, meaning if he's actually planning, if he's actually working on fixing the fence, then it doesn't become also even though that amount of time passed. And Tosfos brings a Mishnah and Kelayim that bears out that point. So that's why the Braisa uses the word nisyash. As far as the chayev b'achur yosei, it's an example of hezek she'en and nikur, because there's no visible difference in the grain before and after it was near the grapes. So on the face of it, he shouldn't be chayev in it. However, Tosfos points out that after all, you can go there and you can see that the grain and the grapes are too close to each other, and therefore that's considered a hezek nikur, even though there's no difference in the actual grain itself. So Rishonim point out over here that this is an example of what we learned about in Bava Kamma and a little bit in Bava Metzia about Dina de Garmi, where you didn't directly cause the hezek, it was indirect because you failed to put up the fence, and therefore it becomes osur. Nevertheless, actually, Tosfos themselves mentions in Anam and Aleph that this is an example of Dina de Garmi, that nevertheless you're still chayev because it's a hezek caused directly by what you did or what you failed to do. Bava Kamma, a few different possibilities of what exactly is the definition of Dina de Garmi, but in any case, our Braisa would be an example of that. Anyway, the point is that in the Braisa, it uses the word mechitza, and it clearly means a fence over there, because that's the point. You need a fence between the grain and the grapes in order that they don't become awesome. So now, if we say that the word mechitza in our Mishnah means a fence, then that would mean, Taima derotsu. Now, what are we saying? Because they agreed to build a wall, therefore you have the dinim in our Mishnah of what material it has to be made out of, and depending on minhag ha'medina, and how thick it has to be, depending on the type of material. The implication is holo rotsu, implying that if they didn't agree to build a wall. Then the implication is that, and later on, by the way, the Gemara points out, even if they agreed to it, still they should be able to change their mind. So we're talking about where they made a kinyan between them. In any case, but if if they didn't want to, and one of them argues, we don't need a full-fledged wall built out of stones or bricks or whatever. It would be enough to just put up some kind of divider. What the Gemara calls soon a masipas. Rashi defines a masipas as just you have a bunch of wooden pegs stuck into the ground. So they're not going to prevent either one from seeing into the other one's chotzer, but it would be an obvious demarcation that here's where my part ends and your part begins. Tosfos further on discusses a possibility, and various other Rishonim bring from the Oruch, and various Rishonim bring from the Goinim, that a Masipas can be a wall, but one that has a bunch of holes or windows in it. So obviously it doesn't prevent one from seeing into the other's chatzer. Anyway, the point is, the implication of the Mishnah, if we say Machitza means a wall, means that they don't both agree to build a wall, and one of them is saying, we don't really need a wall, Masipas would be quite enough, then it would mean that we can't force them to. So in other words, the flow of the Mishnah would be Ashutman Shirotu Lasis Machitza. If they agreed, and as the Gemara mentions later, made a Kinyan, that we're going to build a wall, then we have the dinim of our Mishnah of what material to make it and how thick to make it, etc. But then, in other words, the flow would be. But if they don't agree to that, then they have to divide it somehow, but they don't need an actual wall. Alma, now that would show, if we learn the Mishnah that way, Hezek Ria Lav Shmei Hezek. That the hezek of seeing into somebody else's property is not considered a hezek. Meaning just that. So in other words, so Reuven is doing things in his chatzer. Shimon is going to be able to see him because they don't have a wall between them. All they have at most is a masipas, we're saying. And nevertheless, Reuven can't say to Shimon that this is a problem. I can't do anything private in my property. We have to put up a wall. Shimon can say, no, that's not considered a hezek, and I shouldn't have to pay out some money in order to put up a wall because of that. Now later on in the the Gemara is going to point out soon, it's one thing when a person is doing things in his house, there you definitely have a hezek ria, a person expects more privacy in his house. But a chotzer, after all, I mean, you know, you do things in your chotzer, as Rashi had said, roiv tashmisha, and many of the things that they do on a daily basis, nevertheless, it's not necessarily, according to this way of looking at it, such an issue that you should need so much privacy. Well, the Gemara asks, how do you know? The Ema, maybe there's another way of learning it. Maybe you could say, the Ema, Machitza Plumta. Maybe you can say, the Machitza of our Mishnah means a division. So it means, in other words, so now the Mishnah would be saying, when the two of them agreed to divide the Chotzer, then automatically that triggers the requirement to buy a wall, to build a wall. And we see an example of that, Kedichtivati Mechza Se'eda, as we see after the war with Midian, when the Pasuk describes how they divided up the spoils between the rest of the Jews and the soldiers, and each one gave their portion to the Kohenim and Levium respectively. So it uses the expression, Vati Mechza Se'eda, the half that belonged to the Eda, to the congregation, was X amount. So the word Mechitza can mean a division, not a wall. And then if we learn the Mishnah that way, then the point is, why would we want to do that? Tosfos points out, because the Gemara is going to have a bunch of questions that it's going to bring in, that on the face of it, our Mishnah can't mean a wall for various reasons that the Gemara is going to ask. The Gemara is going to answer each one of them, but still, the Gemara is asking that maybe it's a bit of a doichet, and to begin with, we'll forestall those questions if we say that mechitza means plugta, means a division. So now, in that case, the flow of the Mishnah would be, the kiven de rotsu, once they wanted to do a division, once they decided to divide up the chotzer, then each of them can be required to build a wall. Neither one can say, I think we could get away with it. Just a masipas, once they agree to divide it, automatically that triggers the chiyuv to build a wall. And Alma, and if we learn that way, then that would show hezek ria shnei hezek. That would show that hezek ria is a consideration, and therefore that you can force the other person to do something to avoid hezek ria. Tosfos points out that later on in the sugya, the Gemara is going to explain actually that we're talking about over here where the chotzer is not really big enough to divide between them. In other words, so therefore of necessity they're having to use it jointly. But then nevertheless, So usually we would say it's not big enough to divide. It's not enough for each of them to have four amos. Therefore, normally they're not required to divide it. But if for whatever reason they decide to divide it anyway, then at that point they'd have to build a wall. Why not say mechitza means that? And then we learn from that hezek ria is hezek. The answer is, the Gemara says, you can't say that. Then why would the expression in the Mishnah be that they wanted to make a mechitza, which implies something that you're making, then the Mishnah could have used a shorter expression that they wanted to divide it. So the fact that it says lasis mechitza implies we're talking about making an actual something, namely a wall. And again, that would mean, then the flow would be that they agreed to make a wall, and therefore they build it according to the specifications in our Mishnah, but only if they mutually agreed to build a wall. But the Gemara asks, Ela Mai Mechitza Guda. So what are you going to tell me then? The word Mechitza, Ela Mai Guda. So what are you going to tell me then? The word Mechitza in our Mishnah does in fact mean a wall. Then you have to ask, still the wording of the Mishnah is not being precise. Why does it continue? Bonin as a koiso, they build the wall. Bonin oisemi boilo, it should just say they build it. Ashutfen should also last as mechitza. They both agreed to make a mechitza, namely a partition, according to the possibility that we started, that the word mechitza means a partition. Bonin oisemi, then they build it. Why add the word as koiso? And the answer is, you couldn't have done that. Itana oisoi. If the Mishnah had used the word oisoi, then you would think, then maybe you would think that indeed the Mishnah is saying that it's enough to make a mesipas. Because after all, a mesipas, however we define it, whether we define it, as Rashi said, like pegs stuck in the ground to just show that there's a marker between one and the other, or like Tosva said, the possibility that it means an actual wall built of stones, but one that has holes in it. So you would think that would be good enough. Meaning, in other words, that the Mishnah would be, so according to that, we would also understand that the Mishnah is talking about, again, where the Chotzer is not really big enough to divide for either of them to require the other one to divide it. But now, if they mutually agreed to divide it, then you would think it's enough. It's enough to put up a mesipas. So why should I have to spend the money on a full wall made out of stones? So now we're saying that no, when the Mishnah mentions koisel, implies that it has to be, once they agree to build a full-fledged wall, then it does have to be a wall. If it only said oisoi, then you would think that it means that they only have to put up a mesipas v'alma. So Rashi explains that the Rotsu of our Mishnah, we would think, is talking about the division. In other words, Hashutfen Shel Rotsu Lasas Mechitza Bechotzer, you would think means, in other words, that if it continued Bonin Oisoi, you would think the flow of the statement is as follows: where it's a small chotzer, where they need mutual consent to divide it, because neither of them is going to have four amos for themselves, even if they agree to divide it. Neither one can force the other one, neither one can force the other one to divide it, and still, when they do divide it, on the face of it, one of them could say that, you know what, I agreed to divide it, and I didn't agree to then put in the expenses and the space to build a full-fledged wall. All I want is a mesipas. But on the other hand, only with a larger chotzer, where anyway, either one can unilaterally decide, you know what, we need to divide this chotzer, then we would mistakenly think that Hezekiah is Shmei Hezek, and therefore that each of them can force the other to build the wall. Kamash Malon Koisel, that is why the Mishnah uses the word Koisel to say that no, the Rotsu does not refer to the division. The Rotsu refers to the building of the wall, meaning that they mutually agreed to build a wall. Doesn't matter what the story is with the division of the chotzer, whether it's something where they could get, each one could decide unilaterally, we want to divide this chotzer or not, or whether it's big enough that each one, whether it's small enough that each one has to agree. Either way, the point is that Rotsu is not referring to that. It's referring to the building of the wall. They both mutually agreed to build a wall, and that is when we require them to build a wall. And otherwise, in fact, a mesipas would be enough because we're not concerned about Hezekiah. That's a point of Rashi. That the Gemara is saying the Havamina. In other words, we would understand that the Rotsu goes on the building, we would think the Rotsu goes on the division, and no, we're saying the Rotsu goes on the building of the wall. Tosfa says that no, actually, the Rotsu would mean that it's going on a Mesipas. It's true they're going to have to build a Mesipas regardless, but there are different kinds of Mesipases. Again, there can be a weaker kind of Mesipas, the kind that Rashi is describing, which is made up of no more than pegs stuck in the ground, which is not really a wall at all. Or you could have a stronger Mesipas, like Tosfa said, that's made out of stones, but with holes and windows all in the place with it. So the point would be that since according to this Lushen, we're saying that there's no problem with Hezekiah, then therefore we're saying that you still would have thought that it's enough to build even a weak Lysippus, and the answer is no. At the very least, you have to require, each of them can require the other to join in the effort to building a strong Lysippus. But nevertheless, it can still be a Lysippus with holes, because again, we would say we're not concerned about Hezekiah. The Maharam, by the way, has a long piece on this, to defend what Rashi is saying and to discuss why indeed can't we say that the Rotsu just means it's a small Chotzer, they both mutually agreed to divide it, and we're saying that since Hezekiah is not a problem, then therefore it's enough to build a Mesippus, and the Maharam gives a couple of answers, one of them being that then, like this, we want to be able to show a couple of chidushim over here, not only that Hezekiah is not Shmei Hezek, but some other dinim that we're learning from it as well, and we wouldn't have that if we understand that way. Okay. So that would be why the Mishnah is using the word bonin as a koisel. To stress that point, that once they've agreed to build a wall, then it has to be an actual wall and not just a Mesippus, or according to Tosfos, fine, maybe it can be a Mesippus, but it has to be a strong Mesippus and not a weak. All right. The Mishnah had said, "Bonin es hakoisel ba'emtza v'cholo." So the Mishnah had said that when they agree to build it, then they build it in the middle. Each one of them gives half the space. So the Gemara says, well, again, we're still in the first lashon over here of what the word mechitza means. That means that they mutually agreed to build a wall. Well, then the question is pshita. Obviously, then in that case, if they mutually agreed to build it, then they're building it in the middle. Then of course they're building it in the middle. Mele if we say that mechitza means a division, like we said before, vaki mechitza se'eda, then the chiddush is that once they agree to divide the chotzer, then both of them are required to supply space for the wall. But once we say, if once this first lashon, that both of them have agreed to begin with to build a wall, well then of course they build it jointly, and then of course they put it in the middle. The Gemara says, loy tzricha dekodim chad v'ratzi l'chavre. The case would be, though, that one of them went and talked the other one into dividing it with a mechitza. So it's not they both mutually came up with the idea, it's that one of them came up with the idea and then went and talked the other one into it. Mao de tema, so then you might think Matsi Amale, maybe the other one can say, the one who finally agreed, can say, Ki Yisratzoi Loch, you know, when I agreed to build a wall, Ba'avira, is I agreed that I'll supply the space in my chotzer, I'll give up 3 tfachim, or whatever it is, at the edge of my chotzer, for the building of a wall. All I agreed is, in other words, fine, there's going to be a wall which is going to take away some space in my chotzer. But I was only agreeable to building a thin mechitza, for example, not one that takes up 3 tefachim of my property, something made out of boards or something, which is only going to take up a little bit of my property. But to use a significant amount of space, 3 tefachim, out of my chotzer, lo yisratzoi loch, I never agreed to that in the first place. So you would think that he could argue that. So Kamash Malon, therefore the Mishnah says that no, once he agreed to build a wall, then he can, and as the Gemara explains later, he made a kinyan, then therefore we can't say that now he can get away with saying, you know what, let it be a thin wall, then we have to build Kiminagamadi. Okay. Now, so far the underlying assumption in this Lashon has been, again, when we say that Mechitza means a wall, and that the flow of the Mishnah is, when they agreed to build a wall, then you have the details of our Mishnah. So the underlying implication was that Hezekiah is not a problem. The fact that one of them is going to be doing things in his chotzer and the other one is able to look in on him is not considered a Hezek, and therefore he doesn't have the unilateral ability to say, I want a wall. So the question is, the Hezekiah lav shnei Hezek, are you telling me that Hezekiah is not a problem? And the Gemara is going to bring a bunch of objections to that, for which a simon is gina koisel koifen b'chokin chalonis derav Nachman. These are, as usual, as the Gemara does, key words for each of the arguments, each of the braises and mishnayis and whatever that the Gemara is going to bring in this connection. I've mentioned in earlier shiurim a sefer by Rav David Powder called Bamaseyach LaDavid, where in the back of it he has a discussion of all these simonim in the Gemara and the deeper meaning behind them. Here he says that actually there's a case involving windows and involving a din that Rav Nachman says, besides that we have an Or Sugya over here, there's one that comes up in Eruvin, That's also involving windows and people wanting to have their privacy. And the point is, he says, therefore, the simon over here is also meant to hint at the Gemara is dealing over here with the value of privacy and how important it is to that a person has the right. We're going to learn at the end of Chesed Sabbatim, you have the famous thing that Bilam sees, that nobody's tents are facing one another's doors, so everybody is giving each other their space and their privacy. So the Gemara is hinting at that also with the simon over here. Anyway. Tashma, so the first proof is from our Mishnah, said b'chein beginner. We said in a garden. Now we said in a garden, and the Gemara is going to end up explaining that it means even when it's not, even in a place where people don't usually fence in their gardens, by default, a garden is considered something that requires a fence, and the Mishnah had said that we fence it in. So that would imply, now why else? Now in a garden, the issue would be hezekriah. You're not actually doing things over there, but nevertheless, the problem would seem to be that somebody is looking in on your garden when you're doing garden work over there. So wouldn't that show that hezekriah is a hezek? Otherwise, why is there a need for a fence in a garden? You might say that on the contrary, ginashaini, a garden is different. Kidrab Abba. The concern is based on what Rab Abba says, the Amr Rab Abba, Amr Rab Huna, Amr Rab, also the Odom Lamed, we learned this in Rav Matzia, also the Odom Lamed, the Sadi Chaveri, a person is not allowed to go and look at somebody else's chutin, and stand by and look into somebody else's field, the Shashi had met us the Kamay Serha, when it's standing with its grain standing in it, because of an Ayin Hara. So yes, and now Tosfos points out, in a field, we said in the Mishnah, a field does not normally need to be fenced in, but the difference is in a field, it's not that long from when the grain is standing and it stalks and ready and about ready to be harvested until it's actually harvested is at most a month. But vegetables grow all different times during the year, and they're there growing for a considerable period of time, and therefore there's this concern of ayin hara. What does that mean? What does that mean in terms of the height of the fence? On the face of it, the Gemara is comparing it to the chotzer, and that would mean the fence has to be 4 amas tall. And most of the Rishonim do learn that way. On the other hand, the Rambam paskens it needs to be only 10 tefachim, and the Chachmei Lunel asked them about that. The Chachamim of Lunel in the south of France, they got some of the early copies of the Rambam Sefer, and they constantly wrote him. They wrote back and forth with him questions about things he had written in there. So they asked him about this one, and the Rambam says, actually, don't you realize you're great Talmid Chachamim? Don't you realize that actually the answer the Gemara is giving over here is really only a dichri? It's really only like an excuse to deflect the question. Really, the difference is it's one thing a chotzer, a person is doing his actual thing, his actual personal things in there. Therefore, hezekriah is a serious matter, and you need a wall of 4 amas with a garden. All we're saying is it's a matter of ayin hara, even though it says also it's really only midas chassidus. It's not a requirement, it's not an absolute requirement. So 10 tefachim is quite enough to make sure that somebody doesn't go in there and start picking the vegetables or whatever. This way, it's called nitpasol of kaganev. If somebody is in there, then you can confront him and say, what are you doing in here? There's a fence here, 10 tefachim. You couldn't have easily gotten over it. You're here as a ganev. So therefore, that's the Rambam uses that to explain why only 10 tefachim. But again, most of the Rishonim disagree with that point. The Raivad right there and other Rishonim and say, and in fact, the implication of our Gemara is that a garden would also require a 4 amma tall wall. Okay. So anyway, the point is that with a garden, it's not so much a matter of hezekriah. With a garden, actually, there's more of an issue of hezekriah because there are things growing over there, or at least according to the Rambam, there's less of an issue of hezekriah because it's only a matter of ayin hara. But nevertheless, the point is that doesn't tell us anything about a chotzer. So the Gemara says, v'chein katani, where the fact is, the Mishnah had said v'chein, implying that they're both based on the same reason. And the answer is no. The Mishnah just means that when you're building a fence around a chutz, around a garden, then the same rules apply in terms of construction materials as to a chutzer that you need to use gvil or gozis or whatever the local building codes are to use. Doesn't mean necessarily that the reason behind them would be the same. In a chutzah, the reason is that in a chutzah, we're not concerned about hezekriah. In a garden, you are, because people are going to give an ayin hara to the growing plants, or according to the Rambam the other way around, that in a chutzah, maybe there is more of an issue of hezekriah, and in a garden, less. Okay. The Gemara says, Toshna, let's bring another proof. The later on in the Perek, we learn a Mishnah that says, Koso Chotzer Shenofal, when the wall around the Chotzer fell down, Mechayv Anoisa Livnos, and each of the neighbors is required to participate in rebuilding. Add Arba Amos, and they have to rebuild it to a height of 4 amos. So why 4 amos? That would be because it has a Gria. So the Gemara says, Nofal Shiny. Yeah, it's different when it fell down. When Tosfos points out, because when there was a wall there, people have gotten used to having a wall there, and therefore they've gotten used to doing things in private over there. And therefore now, when the wall falls down, they're still going to continue with their old habits, and therefore that would be an issue. Rashi learns differently. Rashi learns the point is because they both agreed to build a wall. Again, the flow of our sugya is that we're talking about they did agree to build a wall, but nevertheless we're saying, do they actually need to build? Yes, where they agreed to build a wall, then they build a wall. But otherwise, we said if they just want to divide the chotzer, they don't necessarily need a wall. It's enough to put up a masikas. So there, we're talking about they had already previously agreed to have a wall. Therefore, each one of them can say, we have to continue as we were before and continue to have a wall. And again, according to Tosfos, the vote is because each one of them has gotten used to doing private things in his chotzer. Well, the Gemara says, well, whoever brought up that question in the Beis Medrash, what was he even thinking to ask? Isn't it obvious that there's a difference between when a wall fell down versus when there was one there to begin with? Obviously, if they mutually agreed before, then each of them can require the other one to continue with the same argument as before. In fact, Tosfos says, Fakir, we should say only when it fell are they requiring each other to rebuild it, implying that if there had never been one, neither one can force the other one to do it. So the answer is, the Gemara says, you're right. They weren't really asking from the case where it fell, Sefer Tzrichalei, the Makshan who brought in the question was really focusing on the continuation of the Mishnah, that even if the wall used to be taller than 4 amos, the Mishnah continues there. Me'arba amos olamayla, in Mechayv Noise, we don't require him to rebuild it higher than 4 amos, so that's only relevant when the wall fell. So you would think maybe we should say we should build it to the same height it was before, and the other one can say that no, 4 amos is enough. It is enough. We never needed it to be taller in the first place, and it was a waste to have it like that. Now you can't require me to provide the expenses of bricks or stones or whatever for more of it. But if it's being built in the first place, then we could say that maybe they only required it to build it in the first place, only if they both agreed. Okay, but the answer is that when there was a wall there, then each of them is required to rebuild the wall, but otherwise not necessarily. Okay, the Gemara says Toshma. Let's bring another proof later on in the Perek. Koyfenoisa livnes beis shair the delas v'chotzer. People who live in a chotzer jointly can require one another to share in the expenses of building a beis shair, a gatehouse, like you have a little building in front of the entrance to the chotzer, sort of like you have in buildings nowadays. Sometimes, like you'll have like a vestibule or a foyer or whatever with revolving doors, and then you'll have the actual building itself. So that's kind of similar to a beis shair. So they can require each other to build that. The point being, in other words, because otherwise, when the door of the chotzer is open, then anybody can look inside. So the beis shair avoids that because then you have two doors, and then you have two sets of doors. The delas and doors, lachotzer. So shmamina hezekriya shmei hezek. So that shows. Now, why would you need to do that? On the face of it, because hezekriya, because people from Rishos HaRabim are going to be looking into the chotzer. It's different when you have rabim looking in over there. Sure, then you can say that they require one another to avoid that kind of hezekriya. But when we're talking about between one neighbor and the other, then maybe there's not a requirement to do it. Further in the Perek, it talks about that we're talking about a chotzer that's not really right next to Rosh Hashanah, but nevertheless it's close enough to Rosh Hashanah. Tosfos points out that people are going to end up going in that area. There's enough people that end up in that street that there's going to be hezekriah from the rabbin, but it's different when you're talking about one individual. Well, the Gemara asks, Yochid Lois, you're telling me there's no issue of hezekriah when an individual person is looking into your chotzer? Toshma, let's look at another Mishnah in our Perek. You're not required to divide a chotzer unless each one is going to have 4 amos for himself, because 4 amos is usually considered to be the minimum functional chotzer. So, so in other words, if it's smaller than that, then they can't require each other, then each one of them cannot require the other one to split it. Instead, they can say, we'll continue using it jointly. Only if they both agree, then we said they split it. Now, so if there is enough space in it where each of them can have their four amas, it sounds like they're required to split it. One of them can wake up one morning and say, you know what, I decide that we should, that we should divide up this chotzer, and the other one has to go along with it. Now, my lab bekoisel. Now, when we talk about dividing, doesn't that mean that at that point, it means that now he can require the other one to build an actual wall between them? After all, our Mishnah talks about a wall. Later Mishnayos and the Perek are talking about walls. So we would assume that it means that automatically, once he says, let's divide it, then it means that a wall has to be made. And then Moses says, well, the Mesipas Malma. No, there you might say Mesipas is quite enough. So that doesn't show any, maybe on the contrary, Hezekiah is not an issue, and indeed a Mesipas would be enough. Okay? The Gemara says, Toshma, let's try to prove from a Mishnah in the second Perek. The Mishnah says, Hachalonis, it's also going to be quoted in the Gemara later on in our Perek, Hachalonis, when it comes to windows, so if you have one person has a house with windows in it, and the other, and another person who shares the chotzer wants to build a wall opposite the windows. So bein milamayla, whether from up above, meaning if the wall is going to be taller than the windows, then it needs to be at least four amas taller than the window. Bein milamata, or whether from below, whether the new wall is going to be lower than the windows, then it has to be a minimum of four amas lower than the windows. Or whether we're talking about opposite the window, meaning it has to be a certain distance away from the window so as not to block the light from the window. In all cases, dalat amas. In all cases, the distance has to be a minimum of four amas. V'tani alon, we learn a b'raisa. Milamailon, when you're talking about when the new wall is taller than the window, the reason is k'deshala yotzitz v'yira. The reason is because you want to avoid that the owner of this new wall is going to stand on the wall and bend over and look into the window of the house. So therefore, when it's four amas taller, a person's height is three amas, so therefore he's not really going to be able to stand on the wall and bend down without losing his balance. When it's below, when the wall is lower than the window, the reason is Kadesh la Yamid, you don't want him to stand on top of the wall and stare into the window. If it's across from the window, then the reason has to be minimum 4 hours away, Kadesh la Yafil, so he doesn't block the light from the window. The point being, in other words, that we're saying milamailan and milamata and the distance has to be 4 hours, isn't that because of Hezekiah? The man says Hezekiah, the bias is shiny. It's different when you're talking about Hezekiah of a house. Sure, people do a lot more of their private things in their house than they do in their chotzer. So yeah, there's no question there's an issue of Hezekiah over there. Here we're dealing with a chotzer, maybe not necessarily is that a consideration. So the Gemara says Toshma, the Omer of Nachman Omer Shmuel, Rav Nachman says a din in the name of Shmuel. Gag hasamuch l'chotzer chaveroi. If a person has his roof, and roofs in those times were flat, and people usually would do all kinds of things on their roof, so if he has the roof is near the other person's chotzer, namely that the house with the roof is lower down, and his neighbor's chotzer is higher up, then you have to make a guardrail, a fence around the roof, 4 amas tall, so that, and on the face of it, why 4 amas? Because Hezekiah. The answer is shiny hossam. So the difference is, over there, when you're talking about a roof versus a chotzer, then that's different than the case of our Mishnah, where you're talking about two chotzers. The omelet bala chotzer, the bala gag, now the one who owns the chotzer can say to the one who owns the roof, the didi kvili tashmishi hossam. The didi kvili tashmishi. When I use my chotzer, there are certain defined times that I'm using. A chotzer is something that people regularly use. So all the time I'm using my chotzer. So when it's a chotzer and a chotzer, then fine. I know you're always in your chotzer and I'm always in my chotzer. If we don't have a wall, then I'm gonna have to take care to keep my privacy. But for you to use your roof is not an ongoing thing. Occasionally you use your roof. So Valoya Dina, Behe in the slicker, but also, so I have no way of knowing in advance when you're going to be going up to your roof, it's not enough that I should then make sure to not do my private things and my chotzer at that time. So therefore, we can't prove from that when there's a chotzer next to a chotzer where each one knows the other one is constantly going to be in his chotzer, and therefore he's going to know to begin with that there are going to be certain private things that he's going to have to do in his house. So far, what we're saying is, fine, so far, according to this Lashon, we're saying Hezek Ria is a Hezek in some cases, in a house, or when the Rabbim are going to be looking in, or where you have no way of knowing when the person is going to be there, or when we're talking about a garden and then you have the issue of Ayin Hara. But otherwise, in the case of a Chotzer, next to a Chotzer, not necessarily is Hezek Ria an issue, and therefore only if they agreed to build a wall, do we say they have to build a full-fledged wall without holes or windows or anything, but not necessarily when they didn't agree to begin with, when they only agreed to divide up the Chotzer, not necessarily did they need to put up anything more than a Mesipas just to demarcate this part is mine and this part is yours. Okay, so then the Gemara is going to continue then on Daf Gimel with a second Lashon and a different way of understanding the Mishnah, which is going to end up with the conclusion that Hezek Ria is the poskim in general, paskim like that, and therefore the result is that yes, when any time when you have somebody is doing things in their property, then Hezek Ria is an issue. Now you have, say, for example, people often have their front lawns or whatever, and nobody's requiring anybody to put up walls over there because it's, people obviously have, people are moichel, the minigam mokim, that people have such things, and walls are not necessarily required. But we're talking about when people, especially when we have people are doing things in their chotzer, like we're describing over here, then yes, they can claim Hezek Ria and say that they and their neighbor are required to put up a wall between one and the other. And later on in the Perek and later on in the Masechta, there are various other dinim that come out from this point of Hezek Ria.